Greetings and welcome to the FBL Dilemma for an Addict, the official podcast of the Facebook community Football Addicts. My name is William and with me is Bakes. How you going, mate?
Mate, I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, getting there slowly but surely. It was a pretty good game week for me. How was your game week? All up?
Well, mate, I mean, a lot of things have happened since we last spoke. We did that wild card special about 2 weeks ago, and it's basically been carnage, hasn't it? Bunch of major injuries and managers who have got tough with some big name players. I've seen some scores and they vary wildly. I think the average on the site was 51. A bunch of guys at work got in the 90s and another bunch got in the 20s. So, I feel sorry for people who had Hazard, and I had Mata and he got pulled at half time, and, you know, Sturridge got ruled out with an injury. A lot of unsettled lineups, and really not the teams that you'd sort of expect to be unsettled. With Manchester United and Chelsea and Man City, all pretty unsettled due to either injuries or form. How'd you go?
Yeah, not too bad. I finished on 68 points, but I took an 8-point hit, so I scored 60 points net, I guess you could say.
Oh, so, that's pretty solid, I reckon.
Yeah.
So who are your stars?
Who are my stars? James Vardy. Who else did I have? Sanchez. He did pretty well. Payet came through. Who are my lesser owned players? Well, actually, my biggest success of the round was trading out Kolarov for Hector Bellerin for a hit.
Yeah, good call.
So that came through really well. Who else? I brought in De Bruyne. He scored an assist, which was a little bit underwhelming considering they scored 5 bloody goals and he only got an assist.
He was a smart selection, but Sterling came through with the points there, and Boney had 2 goals and assist, but Sterling had a fantastic game. But you got to say, like, it was unexpected. His underlying stats are not good.
No.
But he certainly was all over that, like a rash.
Yeah, I think he almost looked like the Sterling of old from that Liverpool title challenge season.
That was absolutely it. Untouchable. Like puts in 3 touches to everyone else's 1, and then the shots just went in this time, I guess. But yeah, his stats are not great though, are they?
No. See, it's funny. In my virtual sports real dream team, I kept him in for this week, and he performed really well. And yeah, I've got a really good story from the virtual sports dream team game. I actually brought in Wijnaldum this week in the virtual sports one. I'll talk more about this later. It was a really interesting story, but that was a pretty cool one. So yeah, so 68 points for me, which is pretty solid. I went down in the rankings by 3,000 places.
Oh, so, okay.
But I had a captain fail. I captained Pella, which was I think it was a good captain choice, and so he failed. So that was a bit frustrating, primarily because a lot of the other popular captain choices got some returns. Those being Costa and De Bruyne, the other two popular captains, they got something. So that was a bit frustrating.
Yeah, I think Pelé was a good choice, and you scored well without the captain really contributing. A lot of people, put Costa in. I was on Facebook.
Yeah.
The FPL community saying, people saying, who do I bring in this week? And I missed a big trick. I mean, I bought in Lukaku for Aguero because I always plan to bring Lukaku in 2 weeks after they get through this tough period. I bought him in early, but, really missed a trick with Costa, schoolboy era. Costa, again, you talk about when players are due, it's funny, none of his statistics pointed to him producing major points, and yet he has produced, 12 points. A lot of people captained him who did pick him, got 24 points, but none of the underlying sort of statistics were there that would lead to that. But, form is temporary, class is permanent. You know, he's going to end up in the top couple of strikers at the end of the season, and, you know, it was his time, I guess.
Mm. I still think Lukaku's better pick than him.
He's going to what, sorry?
I still think Lukaku's a better pick.
Oh, I think yeah. I'm pretty happy with it after this weekend. Mm. He's got a tough game this weekend against Arsenal, who at home, and then I think that Everton are off to the races. They've been, apart from last weekend where they sort of got towed up a little bit 3-0 from United. I think Everton have performed really well in a really tough patch, and I think they're set to go really well over the next 6 or 7 game weeks.
Yeah, I think that they've almost proved me wrong a little bit. I never trusted Martinez. To an extent, I still don't. But they have played quite well. I mean, yeah, they did get tailed up by United, but I would certainly suggest getting an Everton asset leading up to their really good set of fixtures. And I'll be certainly looking at some Everton assets. I probably won't be getting Lukaku. I'll be looking at Barkley and probably some kind of Everton defensive coverage at this stage.
Yeah, I think Barkley's a good pick.
Yeah, I think he is.
He's having he has a lot of touches in a game. I think he's had almost 650 touches, which is in the final, and 290 in the final third, which is right up there. So he gets a lot of shots off. I think he was the one that looked most threatening against Man U.
Cool. All right. So we'll make a start on the agenda. So up first, we've got looking at the highest point scorers of the round, and we give our particular verdict. So we'll start with keepers. So we've got Hugo Lloris with 8 points. I like the Spurs defense. I think there are probably cheap options in the keepers who will score the same, if not better, in comparison to Lloris. So I think Butland and Myhill in particular are really good options, the goalkeeper. So I'd probably prefer to bring in a Spurs defender, personally. So I'd probably say probably a no. I just think a Spurs defender would be better than Lloris.
Yeah, I mean Spurs, I think it's, you've really got to look at someone from Spurs, don't you? I mean, they've only conceded 7 goals all season, which is the best in the league. Liverpool on the weekend, they're with the new manager. They're starting to implement the Gegen press, the famous Klopp Gegen press. And Tottenham were under all sorts of pressure in the first half hour. And, they stood tall. I mean, Liverpool, Origi hit the bar, but Tottenham really stood tall and weathered the storm. They are a pretty good outfit. And you have to have someone from Tottenham. The interesting thing is I do agree with you. I do like, there's so many options in defence with, Vertonghen. I think Rose did really well, and he's back in the starting lineup. You've got Walker, Alderweireld, and don't forget you've got Dyer, who is back from suspension and slots into midfield. That said, Lloris is just about the cheapest of all of them, I think. He's at 5.0 or 5.1. So he is actually an option because everyone is sort of at that 5 level. But I agree with you. I like a defender better, and I like Myhill.
I think there's cheaper options that could potentially get more the same, if not more, points.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, that moves us on to, Boaz Myhill. He comes in with 8 points as well. So, if you're on a wild card, I think definitely get him in. If you seriously got nothing else to do in terms of trades, which you won't, because game week 11, there's a big swing and a lot of fixtures, and all the big teams have good fixtures. But if you're on a wild card, I'd definitely be bringing in Myhill because he mops up bonus save points, and he's a Tony Pulis keeper. He's going to keep clean sheets, and I think there's a pretty good chance he'll keep his spot for a while. I'm not sure when Ben Foster's due back, but I don't think it's for a while. So it looks like he's going to keep his spot in the short term.
Absolutely, Myhill is the number one keeper for FPL, without doubt. I mean, they've got 5 clean sheets, West Brom, which is the same as City. But yeah, Joe Hart's at City, but Myhill is only 4.7. Myhill's also got 31 saves, which is in the top 5 keepers, and I think it's 2 behind Cech. You know, Tony Pulis, as you said, he's out to win 1-0 every game. He's got 49 points. He's the clear FPL points leader outright, and 4 ahead of Cech again. I agree with you. I think that if I was wildcarding, Myhill at 4.7 is just a complete standout.
Definitely, yeah, for sure. Okay, let's move on to defenders. We've got Chris Smalling with 11 points, Hector Bellerin 10 points, Skrtel with 9 points, Danny Rose and Virgil van...
Van Dijk,
with 9 points. And yes, that's it. So let's look at those guys. Look at Chris Smalling. This guy's a tentative yes, I think. They do have terrific fixtures, so they have a good chance of keeping clean sheets. I think I've said this in previous episodes. I still don't trust the Man United defence, but I could be wrong. I think in terms of expected goals, so that's goals that they were expected to concede, according to things like positioning, defensive pressure, shot angle, and power. So all those statistics, they're actually ranked 7. So that's not too bad, but it's not great. I just think there's probably better value elsewhere, in particular with Tottenham, Arsenal, and Southampton. But saying that, I wouldn't blame you if you go and get a United defender. Yeah, it's a tentative yes for me for Chris Smalling.
Yeah, the only thing holding you back is 6.3, which is big. I mean, he did get the assist on the weekend. He has been a good scorer. He's got 45 points now. He's 6.3 though. That's a lot to shell out. But he is a wonderful player. He looks like he likes the physical side of the nature. I do like him as a player. He's got relatively high ownership at 18.8%. It just depends on your budget. I mean, with a lot of the big-name players, further up the field, really struggling for game time, I agree. Guys like Smalling come into play because he can afford to spend a bit more, in defence.
Yeah,
so, yeah, good call.
Yeah, I guess with the Aguero money, we sort of do have a bit more luxury to throw
sprinkle it around like fairy dust. Yes.
Cool. So let's move on to Hector Bellerin. Yes, as I said, I got this guy in with a hit, and this guy's a no-brainer in my opinion. He's a tremendous. There's so much pace. He's a real pretty important player for them. I think he's a no-brainer. As I said, I got him in for a hit this week, and it's paid off. I think he's very strong statistically. I mean, Arsenal, they've conceded very little shots in the box, and watching them. They really look like a good defensive unit. Hector Bellerin, he's got that creativity, which was on display with the assist on the weekend. I think if you've still got Kolarov, that's an easy trade for me. And he got an assist this morning against Bayern as well. And Arsenal just kept a clean sheet against Bayern Munich as well. So there's obviously some special stuff going on there.
Bellerin's a wonderful player. He's only 20. He's only in his first... I think he's only in his first
full season,
yeah. Right? So he's extraordinarily pacey. He averages 1.4 key passes per game, which is very high for a back. And I think he's coming second behind Kolarov in FPL points, a little bit cheaper, but more importantly, he's fit and Kolarov isn't.
Yeah.
So the thing is, though, is that he did get towed up last night against Bayern before providing that assist, but
yeah,
Douglas Costa absolutely nailed him, and really Monreal looked like the better player, but I would stick with Bellerin. I think that in the EPL he's got the form on the board, and he's young enough to bounce back from being taught a few lessons by a good player, and he's absolutely killing it. So, mate, I've just done the same trade. This week I brought in Bellerin for Kolarov because I can't field a back three at the moment. so I've done exactly the same trade.
Yeah, good trade. So, that's good.
Yeah, ringing endorsement of that.
Oh, good. Yeah, proper one. Yep. Yeah, that Douglas Costa, he sort of come out of nowhere. I know. I knew a touch about him when he was at Shakhtar Donetsk, but he's just come out of nowhere. He's been playing unreal football for Bayern, and just his, like, in the small little sample that I saw of him last night properly, he is a terrific player.
He's the real deal. Yeah, he's going to be a big player.
Yeah, incredible. Cool. So, yeah, on to Skrtel with 9 points. He's from your boys, Liverpool. So, fixtures pretty mixed. Statistically, they're pretty good. The underlying defensive stats are pretty good. I think if you want to get Liverpool coverage, I mean, Alberto Moreno, and due to economical factors, he's the one that you should be getting. So, for me, Skrtel's a no because you get Moreno instead for so much cheaper.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Listen, there's a couple of things with Skrtel. Klopp plays the press and he likes defending like front foot defending. And Skrtel's a last line sliding in, backs to the wall kind of defender.
Yes, he is.
I'm not convinced he's going to fit in. Like,
I was just going to ask that, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes
sense. I mean, Sacco... Sacco's, he's going to really fit in. He's very much a front foot defender.
He's there to stay now, isn't he?
Very, very comfortable on the ball. And I know he looks a bit unorthodox, but he's a tremendous player, Sacco.
He is, yeah.
And he's there for the long haul.
He is.
Skrtel, I'm worried about. I agree with you. Moreno is a nutcase, but he is... He's going to be nailed on.
Mm.
So Gomez is out for the season. Moreno fits that mould. I know he's a bit of a nutter, but he does fit that perpetual motion mould. And at 4.7, offers more than Sacco at 4.8. He offers those assists and the occasional goal as well. So I'd be definitely picking Moreno. I think Skrtel at 5.5. He's the highest scoring Liverpool defender, but I wouldn't go with Skrtel.
No, how much is Skrtel now? Did you say
5.5? He hasn't moved.
Oh, hasn't he?
Been steady, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I think Klopp likes his wing backs to advance and get involved as well. So I think Moreno is the one to get there. Cool.
That said, he got 3 bonus points on the weekend, so there's FPL and then there's loving and following your team. So
I agree. I think there's a chance he could get dropped. It wouldn't surprise me to see, as much as what's his name, Dejan Lovren. He's a bit all over the place, but it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Klopp, have a word in his ear and work his magic and get his confidence up, and he could take Skrtel's spot. It wouldn't surprise me.
Agreed.
Cool, so let's move on to Danny Rose. So this one was pretty interesting. I didn't see this sort of coming. I mean, Rose, it looked like he'd been kept primarily for Europa League exclusively, and there didn't seem much evidence he was going to play in the Premier League. But, I mean, if you're going to go Tottenham, which I think is a good move, I'd probably get someone else. I think that Danny Rose, he's just not nailed on. There could even be him and Ben Davies might get rotated in the Premier League games, and I'd get someone like Alderweireld or Eric Dier.
Yeah, I've got a soft spot for Rose because he did quite well in a really handy patch for me last year, but this year as you say, you caught it correctly. It's out of him and Davies, and who knows at this point. He did have a good game on the weekend, and I know other teams are very scared of him marauding forward. So, there was a point where I think, Milner went onto the right to negate his threat specifically. So he is a dangerous player, but not nailed on.
No, he's not nailed on. Cool. So let's move on to Virgil van Dijk. Cool. So I like this guy. I like the Southampton defence. I've got a bit to say about this guy. I like Southampton a lot all over the park. Like, I'll be definitely bringing in a Southampton defender next game week. But who will I get? I've got, at this stage, I've sort of got no idea. I probably wouldn't be getting Cedric because he was hauled off at half. Was that not a half time? Just after half time, and he's sort of been getting hauled off here and there.
He had a head knock.
Oh, did
I think.
He? Oh, did he? There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, he's all patched up, but I think he'll be picked again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. He has been dropped once before.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's right. He came off in the 59th minute in the match against Leicester. So this was pretty interesting. I just saw this. He came off around 59 minutes in the 45-second mark. So if he had waited another 15 seconds or so, his owners would have got his clean sheet points. So that was before...
Oh, yeah, I heard about this. It was Leicester's, a big kerfuffle, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a user on Fantasy Football Scout that sent a big letter, and I think it almost went viral or something. But yeah, he was... the way he worded it, like, is that I didn't quite understand it. Something about 31 minutes and 60 minutes, I don't know. But yeah, like, that'd be pretty heartbreaking. And yeah, so because Cedric's been hauled off before once or twice, you know, it could be a bit frustrating. But and also the fact that, I mean, if you got Cedric in, it'd be because of economical factors, because the fact he's so cheap. But with the as we said before, because we've got the Aguero money now, I think it's almost obliged to spend that cash and an upgrade to a player that has a little bit more security. So that leaves us with VDV, Font, and Bertrand. In terms of goal threat, I had a look. VDV beats all three. The numbers look similar to Font's, but VDV has less minutes, so he wins there. So if you look at creativity, it sort of turns out that Patron's creativity stats aren't that much better than VDV's, which I thought was interesting. He has a minutes per chance created stat only like 60 minutes better than VDV's, which isn't a great deal of margin for defenders. So, yeah, I'm leaning towards Virgil van Dijk in terms of master anthem defensive coverage. If we move on to CBI, so clearances, blocks, and interceptions, the centre-backs always win out there, and they're going to get the bonus. So I think, yeah, I like VDV. He's a yes from me.
Yeah, mate, I it's a good call. I actually don't think you can go wrong. I don't think you can go wrong with Bertrand once he gets a few more game minutes under his belt. He was an FPL star last year, did he? I think he came second in FPL points last year.
Yeah, he was in the team of the year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so he's obviously got FPL points in him. Cedric is, he's a real live wire and can provide assists, and he's a bit cheaper. I think he is first choice as well. I think Yoshida came on, but, reports were that he kind of struggled in that right-back role. So, Cedric gets patched up, I think that he is more or less rusted on. I think Southampton in general, pretty settled team. But I think, where I think it's interesting is those stats you read out. I mean, the new FPL rules and scoring points bring the central defenders much more into play.
Mm.
And as we saw on the weekend, both Fonte and Van Dijk are both goal scorers. They both scored on the weekend.
Mm.
So I don't actually think you can go wrong with any of them. So it's about, picking the consistent one and the one with the most upside. And, the numbers point to Van Dijk. But, good call. They've got a great run coming up. So, they've got Liverpool this weekend, but then they've got Bournemouth at home. They've got Sunderland away and Stoke at home.
Oh, wow.
MCI... away, which would be tough, and then Aston Villa at home. So, four out of six are pretty good.
That's good.
And Liverpool's still got their training wheels on. So, pretty good run. So, good call for Southampton defenders, I think.
Nice.
Southampton, anyone?
Yeah, I think, there's a large pool of players to pick from there, and sometimes there's a case of just flip a coin and pray.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool. All right, let's move on to midfielders. So, yeah, Wijnaldum, absolute machine performance.
Wow.
Yeah, he comes in with 25 points. So, yeah, what a game. Absolute champion performance.
I know plenty of players who started with him, especially certain Dutch friends who started with basically a Dutch team and have slowly traded everyone out, including our friend Memphis, who can never get a start on the weekend.
No.
But Wijnaldum, he kind of he looked lively. I just didn't think he's. I mean, I watched one game because I was interested, and I actually, I mean, this I'm going to get beaten up here, but I actually didn't think his skills looked that silky. Mm. But he obviously had a nose for a good header, and he does these fantastic, you know, late runs into the box. So he's Johnny on the spot to support Mitrovic. But, you know, his stats are not super good. They're only, you know, 1.3 shots per game. So every time he kind of does shoot, they tend to go in. Four goals, I mean, that just came out of nothing, didn't it? Like, Newcastle have been terrible. They were up against Norwich, who were kind of finding the going hard. But, yeah, four goals. I mean, great effort. And given Newcastle's run, you have to, you know, if you're languishing kind of at the bottom or in the middle of your league and you really want to point a difference, you've got to consider Wijnaldum and Mitrovic when you look at their run. I mean, their run's unbelievable. They've got Sunderland, Stoke, Bournemouth, Leicester and Crystal Palace, then Liverpool in their next six. So there's five games where the attackers could really feature. It's the best run of any team in the league. So who is it? Wijnaldum, Perez and Mitrovic, the psycho up front, if you can stay on the field and avoid a red. They're the three options, and Wijnaldum's the man with the form. So, yeah, I mean, what do you say? What are your thoughts?
I think Wijnaldum sort of comes in an interesting time when Aguero is injured, so we've got all this cash. I think he's a good option to upgrade if you've got like some deadwood fifth midfielder. He's a really good option to upgrade to a fifth midfielder, and if you feel like doing it, attempt to rotate your third and fifth, your third striker and your fifth midfielder.
Can I ask a question though? So the other team with the freaky run after this weekend is Everton. Mm. We spoke about their run after they get past Arsenal. You know, it's Sunderland, West Ham, Aston Villa, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, and then, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but there's another probably about four more games that are winnable for them. I mean, would you really pick Wijnaldum in front of Barkley? Because they're both exactly the same priced. I just sort of struggle with that.
Thinking about it now, I probably would.
You would?
But then again, I'll probably, but I think Wijnaldum's a better player than Barkley. But
you do, right? Okay.
But at the same token, I'd prefer to get Everton attacking coverage than Newcastle. But I don't know. Newcastle seem to turn a leaf, and they, Newcastle just go on these runs sometimes, and this could be the start of one of their runs. And you made a good point before. Barkley's ownership is quite high. It's at least 20. It'd be to the high teens, close to 20%. Whereas Wijnaldum is still, his ownership is still very, very low.
Oh, it's tiny. It's It's only 3%, 3.2%, I think, from memory. It is a great point of difference, isn't it? I mean, really, depends where you are, I think, in your league.
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah, you're right. Barkley's 21.8%. That's massive.
Yeah, it's surprising. Him and Johan Kabay, his ownership is surprising as well. Surprisingly high.
Who's on penalties for Everton?
Lukaku.
Right.
It was Baines, and then Lukaku's got him now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, see, Kabay's picking up the penalties for Crystal Palace, which helps. Barkley, remember, shot out the gates very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So probably his ownership grew very quickly because he got 9 and 11. He got two goals and an assist in the first two games and was leading FPL. So, you know, his ownership, I think he had almost 200,000 people come in. Then he scored another couple of assists in round five and another 200,000 jumped on him. So, you know, he sort of jumped out. Now he's gone through this tough run, which, you know, Everton was always going to go through. And people are kind of hanging on to him still. So, he's an interesting one, I think, Barkley.
It wouldn't surprise me. His ownership is probably, it might not be a completely accurate reflection. Like a lot of those people that got him in at the start a good portion of them, it wouldn't surprise me to see that they've probably given up, and they sort of, those casuals that don't sort of make trades.
Yeah.
So that could be that as well. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I probably would prefer Everton attacking coverage to Newcastle, because, I mean, Everton have shown a more consistent form. But Wijnaldum has just proven that he can be explosive. And Newcastle have Sunderland this weekend. It's going to be a huge match. I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, you've got the whole Sam Allardyce narrative in place. Anything could happen. I mean, if you're going to get... Yeah, it could be, and I'll probably talk a bit about that a bit later. All right, so let's move on.
You made a point there that the people that don't make any trades. Did you see that post where I think the player coming 39th, the FPL player coming 39th in the world, has not made one trade yet?
Yeah, I did see that. That's pretty depressing. It's depressing.
That is depressing.
I think the funny thing is, I could be wrong, like, he hasn't made trades, but he's still, like, substituting players out.
Yeah.
I think so. It's almost like a gimmick thing that he's doing. So, but yeah, that is pretty impressive.
No, and then there's us. We're getting up at 2 a.m. to watch games, and this guy's just not doing anything.
It just goes to prove that you know, there is a slice of luck involved.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of skill as well, but sometimes luck does play a more significant factor than what we think sometimes.
Yeah.
Cool. Sterling, 19 points. Yeah, very explosive. I mean, I don't...
Wow.
As Sterling, I think Sterling has scored a hat-trick before. I'm not too sure. But yeah, incredible. I think if you've got KDB in already, I probably wouldn't be trading him in. I think KDB has a more consistency thing around him. But if you don't have any Man City coverage, I don't see why not. If you've got the cash, I'd probably get KDB if you just want one sort of City midfielder coverage. I think he might be a bit more consistent. I think prior to the Bournemouth match, Sterling sort of hadn't done much for a while, and he was actually hauled off at halftime against Newcastle because he was playing rubbish. And the interesting thing is that Silva's actually due back this match, I'm pretty sure, and I sort of think things will resume back to normal a bit, whereas Sterling's there to provide width, and I think he'll be cutting in less. I think he behaved a little differently in this match, in that he cut in a lot more into the box, and he was getting, as you said, like 3 or 4 touches before he was getting those shots away inside the box. I think with Silva back, I think we could see Sterling sort of go provide more of that width, and we'll see less of his returns. But saying that, I still think he's a good pick, and if you want to go him as a sort of point of difference to KDB, then definitely go for him.
Yeah, it was Sterling at his best, wasn't it? And this is what made this guy so exciting at Liverpool. You know, the feint, then the touch, then the feint, then the touch, and then putting it past the keeper. I mean, it was great. It's almost like he's under instruction. Say, you're the man. Aguero's out. You're the man. You know, you don't have to run the show. We've got KDB. We've got an experienced squad here. You don't have to have the ownership of the show, but you're our finisher, and you've got to support Boney. We just got to remember it was against Bournemouth, you know, and Sterling's underlying stats are atrocious. Mm. You know, he's ranked 31st in the EPL for shots per game. Mm. Let's not get carried away. His ownership's dropped from about 30% to about 10%, and he's dropped 0.2. For a good reason. Like, he's been rubbish. So I'm happy for him. I'm, you know, he's a very exciting player, and you know, he's one of my kids' favourite players, because he has that flamboyance, and because I used to get pretty excited about him when he's at Liverpool. But he has, you know, he has been overshadowed this year. The big guys are going to come back, and he just doesn't have the underlying stats to really jump on him. They've got a harder match this week. I mean, as you say, if you've already got Man City coverage, you wouldn't be jumping on Sterling.
No.
Even though he scored 3.
Yeah, it's a bit of a knee-jerk, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. Ander Herrera. So he came in with 9, 14 points. He started behind Rooney. So it's a no from me in terms of getting him in. I'm not sure what Van Hal's preferred front four is now. I don't know. What was wrong with Depay? I don't know. I have no idea.
He was dropped.
Just dropped completely.
Stone cold dropped, apparently.
Wow. I don't know.
Listen, Herrera's interesting. I mean, you know, we talked about unsettled teams. I mean, Manny's right up there. Depay dropped. Mata got hooked at halftime. Now, Mata has been central to everything at Man U. I mean, Man U's going well. Let's remind ourselves, Man U is going well. Mm. They're coming third in the league. They're less than a game off first. They are equal points with Arsenal. It hasn't been pretty, but they've been effective. They've got Juan Mata, who's a fantastic player, surrounded him with pace in Martial and Depay, and they've got the old stage of Rooney in the mix as well. It all looked great, and now it's all been thrown out the window. I don't know if Louis van Gaal has sort of seen Mata, you know, sit on the pine for Spain. He doesn't get a run for Spain because apparently he doesn't work hard enough in defence. So I don't know whether he's looked at that and said, maybe we should shake things up. Obviously, Herrera's got Louis van Gaal's eye. He's come in with a goal and assist, three bonus points, 14 FPL points. He's only 6.6. You know, he's going to play in that front four for the top three side at 6.6. Geez, you've got to keep your eye on him, don't you? If he starts the next few, you've got to really have a look at him.
Definitely. I think Martial on the left, for me, is pretty concerning. Like, I'm still holding him. I just think I could even think Van Hal's his choice of personnel was a reactive one in terms of like tactical for now. So I think he put Martial on the left there to trouble Seamus Coleman and limit his attacking threat from the back, and apparently it worked because they didn't concede and they won 3-0.
Yeah.
So even though he changes personnel around, like they beat Everton 3-0, you know, an Everton team that's playing pretty well. So yeah, I'm very keen to see the United match tomorrow morning and see where he plays Martial, even if he plays. But yeah, I'm concerned with Martial, even with United's good fixtures coming up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, Marta apparently was being troubled by Galloway, who's really playing for Baines.
Yeah.
So he got hooked at half time. Mate, they're up 2-0 at half time. Interesting. Interesting days at United. Mm. Very unsettled. Yeah. But good result for them.
Yeah, it's a bit of a minefield. I'd be pretty disappointed to be a Marta. You own Marta, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. And he's on the chopping block after this week, but we'll just have to see. Yeah. I mean, don't these coaches know that, you know, there's this great game called FPL and we're all bloody serious about it, and what the hell are we supposed to do?
Oh, they know about it. Decisions? Don't worry. They know about it. They just
making my team a mess every week. Yeah,
they are. Buggers. All right. Sissoko. I mean, Moussa Sissoko, you got 13 points. I think you got 3 assists or something. If you got this guy in, it's an extreme maverick punt. He hardly gets you. He's not a bad player, but he hardly gets your turns. He'll have a couple of good games, then do nothing for 6 months. If you're desperate on Newcastle midfield coverage, just get Wijnaldum.
Yeah.
Simple. Okay, so let's move on to Lanzini. Same with this guy, I suppose. I mean, if you're going to get West Ham coverage, you just go Dimitri Payet.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. Cool. So that's the midfielders done. Let's move on to strikers. This is pretty interesting. I've got a bit to say about Costa. So Boney scored 16 points. Vardy scored 13. Costa scored... What did he score? Was it 13 or something? 12?
12.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're the three that scored the points this week. So, looking at Bonnie, I don't see why not. I considered bringing him in for Martial before Bonnie rised in price, but I resisted. So at this point, I probably won't be getting him in. But yeah, I was tempted at the start of the week. What do you think about this dude?
Boney, listen, I think you've got to look at him at 8.5, leading the line for the number one team in the comp. You know, that is great value. I mean, I'm as long as Walcott keeps getting picked, Boney and Walcott, great value at 8.5. He hasn't played enough to post any kind of numbers. But, you know, we saw him at Swansea, and he was quality there. And Swansea sort of punched above their weight. And he's on the pointy end of a pretty good team now. Even without Silva, there's plenty of quality around him. He's got a great set of thighs on him. What can you say? I mean, super thighs. I've got total thigh envy. What you can do with those thighs. I mean, it's almost wasted leaving the line of Man City. But, mate, he's a yes. He's a yes. I actually didn't think he moved that well. Same with Costa. I don't think Costa played that well, but, you know, they stick it in the net, don't they, these guys? So, you know, what do you do? you got to seriously look at him.
He doesn't need to move with those thighs, mate.
They're good thighs. What do you think about Boney?
You've got a 4-week window, and apparently when Aguero's due back, and if you're going to get him, you have to get him in this week, even though they're playing in Man United, you've got to get him in this week.
Mate, I reckon Aguero's 8 weeks. I can't see him if it's a big tear, like they're saying it is. I mean, that's a nasty injury, hamstrings and calves. Yeah, especially if it's his right. Is it his right leg?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah,
it's one of them. One of his thighs.
Yeah, and don't forget, Aguero is a notoriously slow healer.
Yeah, apparently. Or was it his? Is his calf or his thigh?
I thought it was his hammy.
Well, is that the back one? That's the back one.
The back one.
That's the back one. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, that's a bad one.
So he's expected back 21st of November, which is still 4 weeks away. So it's a 6-week injury. So that's a proper tear. Interesting.
I think Bonnie's a good pick. I didn't expect him sort of to come out and, you know, do as well as he did. I didn't expect Costa to come out and do as fluky as he did. Cool. So let's move on to Vardy. Yeah, this guy, he is the closest thing to essential out of any of the players now that Aguero is out. His ownership skyrocketing. Actually, it's incredible. On the Virtual Sports Real Dream Team game, his ownership is only 3%.
Wow.
I think...
Why?
Because in that game, their prices increase really quickly, and people get priced out of getting players in really quickly. And I think, and also the fact that, you know, I think he's just sort of not spoken about much. I mean, he's not a household name. I think you've got, like, if someone like, I don't know, Lukaku had scored, say, 9 goals, he'd been everyone's lips. But I think that's why. And because he's most expensive player in the game now. Like, that's how quickly prices move in it. And I think that's why. So, yeah, he's essential. Like, he had 9 shots against Southampton. 4 of those shots were on target. Against the Southampton team that's known for, you know, good shot prevention. And he plays Sunderland. No, he doesn't. Who's he play this weekend? It's not Sunderland.
Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, they're a pull. They haven't been too bad, actually. But, yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people will be captaining him this week. He's a must. In my opinion, I mean, Leicester City, you know, they look like they're going to continue to score goals. They, you know, they're getting shots away. I mean, they concede a lot, but they score a lot as well.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Will Vardy win the Golden Boot?
Probably not.
Who will?
I don't know. Who got Aguero's out for a while. I was saying Aguero, I suppose.
So the other question I have for you. Is that so? He's taken 38 shots.
But Vardy.
Vardy has.
Yeah.
Which is second behind Sanchez, third. Behind Sanchez with 45.
Who's the other one? Kane.
Who scored 6 goals.
Yeah.
And Coutinho's taken 39 shots and scored one, but he does shoot from halfway, as we've discussed.
Yeah.
Vardy has taken 38 shots and scored 9, which is a 23.68% goals to shots ratio, which is unsustainable.
Yeah, he'll regress. Yeah.
So will when do you pick it?
Oh, it's crazy. Like, he sort of been Payet. Actually, Payet got some good stats on the weekend. Payet's one of those players that you sort of have to ride for a while, and then when you start to notice that their shots stop going in, and it kind of is a luck factor, but it's not. It's just the fact that his conversion rate's just it's too high at the moment. It's unsustainable, but you jump on when you think the time is right, and then when the shots stop going in, you sort of jump off. But the thing with Vardy is he's like still shooting heaps.
Yeah, he is.
So, and that's the thing. That's the difference between someone like him and Martial. Like, Martial scored a couple, but he was taking like no shots. Whereas someone like Iga, lots of touches in the box, but that means nothing. Vardy gets touches in the box, and he just shoots all the time inside the box in good, meaningful positions.
Yeah.
So, you have to get it.
Do you know Vardy's got the most shots per game on target out of any EPL player?
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me at all. That's a huge, that's a big stat. Shots on target's a really good, good
1.9, yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's interesting. Vardy had 4 shots on target. That's more than like some teams got on the weekend, the whole team.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Cool. So let's move on to Costa. So I've got a bit of a niggle with this fella. kudos to the people that did get him in, and extra kudos for those guys that captained. I still don't think he's a good pick, to be fair. For me, there just wasn't much to go on for me. He had no underlying stats. Here's a good one. Ryan Mason, the deep-lying midfielder from Tottenham, actually had more shots in the box than Costa in the last 4 game weeks. And on top of that, when I had watched him, I thought he'd looked poor. Prior to his suspension, he seemed to lose possession way too much in the final third. I mean, Chelsea are in dire form. They still are in dire form. I watched the Villa match, and I think Villa carved out the better chances. Both teams had 8 to 9 shots each. I mean, all the other mainstream stats, the ones that they show on Fox Sports and Sky Sports that don't mean anything, were almost identical. And the 2 goals that they scored were like, just really fortuitous. Like, the first one that Costa himself scored came off a mistake from Guzan. It was basically impossible to miss. And the assist he got was absolutely incredible. It came from an own goal. Costa tried to pass it to someone, and he tried to pass it through 2 players. And the 2 players were, blocking the passing channel. And I think it came from Alan Hutton. So these 2 goals are just, like, it's the easiest points ever. I mean, and Chelsea couldn't score against Dynamo Kiev this morning. Also, I mean, that's pretty bad. I won't be getting him in. If he scores a few goals, then whatever. I'll eat my words. But I just don't think he's a good pick. I think, at the first half of last season, he rode a high conversion rate. And then he's done nothing. He did nothing the second half of last season. Yet he was injured for a bit. And he hasn't done much this season either. And I just don't think he's a good pick.
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it?
That's my rant.
Did so well last year. Yeah, they were on fire last year, weren't they? Chelsea with Fabregas and Hazard. Hazard was being touted as up there with Messi and Ronaldo and the top 3 players of the world. Fabregas was pulling the strings and doing... assist after assist, and Costa was on the end of it, just like the carpet snake coming out from under a rock, comes out when the going's good and spots a goal. this year it's just all gone pear-shaped, hasn't it? I mean, they basically score from Willian taking a free kick from out the sideline and everyone letting it go, including the keeper.
He's still getting returns from nothing.
That's their path to goal. You know, Chelsea had a great run coming up. You know, they've got time to find form. I still can't believe that they're not going to be in the mix. I just can't believe it with that roster. But, you know, we've just got to see whether Mourinho's got the ability to deal with the crisis. Very good front runner. Can he deal with the crisis?
I think, the back end of last season, their overall game statistics were really bad. Like, they weren't getting many shots, and I think it's because Mourinho changed his tactics in that they nicked a goal and they sat back and went into a shell for the rest of the game. But, yeah, I don't make a call, like, we're still only 10 games in, but then again, it has been 10 games. And, I mean, it's still a very small sample size, but for a team of Chelsea's quality, I would have expected them to sort of come out of the rut now. They couldn't beat Newcastle. They couldn't beat, they lose to? Southampton. They couldn't beat Dynamo Kiev. They're struggling against teams that you'd expect them to just, like, at least pepper the opposition goals with shots, at least. They just don't seem to be doing it. And who knows? They could turn it around next week. Who have they got next week? This week, West Ham away. You know, I wouldn't say it's an easy fixture, but who knows?
I think West Ham are better to play away this year.
Yeah, it seemed like that, hasn't it?
So you play them at home, West Ham are on fire. You play them at their home, West Ham are terrible. So, probably not a bad one. Then they got Liverpool at home, then Stoke away, then Norwich at home, Tottenham away, Bournemouth at home. So, pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah. Well, yeah.
I agree with you. The stats are shit. So,
yeah.
I mean, good on you for picking him. I actually, you know, felt like I had the money. I should have, I could have extended. I didn't have great faith in Lukaku in these two weeks, and I feel like I missed the trick. And, you know, I talked some guys in at work and said, you know, guys, Costa's back this week. You should think about it. And some of them jumped on it and did quite well. So good on him. But it was a ballsy move. He's an expensive player with no form. So good on him.
And he's an asshole as well.
Yeah.
don't get him on principle.
What's going on? I'd love to see him and Mitrovic heading up a 4-4-2 formation.
No competition. Mitrovic should have it all over him.
Nutters.
Actually, Mitrovic, he kept his cool quite well. I thought he was quite measured in the match against Norwich. There was a couple of times when you could see you know, the smoke coming out of his ears, but he sort of kept his cool. So, yeah, I think it was good of him. Cool. So good on him. So that's the big scorer. So we'll whiz through the bandwagons. So these are the players that people are getting in. And we'll just sort of say whether we think, oh, well, it looks pretty good, they all make sense, or not. So, looking at keepers, so we've got Michael being brought in by 16,000, Cech being brought in by 11,000. They both make sense.
Yep, two best keepers.
Yep, pretty good. Defence, everything makes sense here apart from... So, we've got Bellerin, 93,000, Alderweireld, 57,000, yep, that's fine. Smalling, 24, that makes sense. Monreal, 20,000, yep, that's all right. Company, is he due back? He didn't play in the weekend, did he? No, he didn't.
Mate, I think he was available, and I think that I think that they were pissed off because he played for Belgium after being out for 4 weeks.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
So he went and played for Belgium, and... Yeah, I think I don't think management was too happy with that, so they benched him for the game and said that was ridiculous. So he's in the bad books, but he'll be back.
He's back. The team captain. So that's not too bad. Sanya's interesting. Bakary Sanya has been traded in by 14,000 people, so that's not a good move. I mean, Kolarov. No. It looked like Sanya was playing on the left in replace. as a Kolov replacement because Zabaleta was back playing on the right. So Sanyu, he's, I wouldn't say he's finished now, but he's not nailed on there. He's going to be in and out of the team.
Yeah, no, he's going to be first sub off the bench, unfortunately. So, yeah, some people do some weird things. I mean, we saw Aguero. I mean, 130,000 people trade in Aguero before his Champions League, before his international, and he tore his hamstring and he's out for 8 weeks, and another 30,000 transferred him in after that. So everyone got a little bit excited. So people do some funny things, and I think Segner's up there. Like, yeah. I don't think he's a good choice at all.
No, very silly. Cool. All right. Midfielders. We got Sanchez, 110,000, Wijnaldum, 57, Payet, 44. People still don't have Payet. Sterling, 44, yeah, makes sense. Kabay, 37, makes sense. Mesut Ozil, 33. He's come along.
Yeah, listen, Ozil, I've got Walcott, and if Walcott doesn't deliver, Ozil's my next.
That's good.
I don't know if you saw any highlights, but he is pulling the strings for Germany. Mm. He's on fire at the moment, Ozil. He is ranking really high across the board. He in terms of, like, you know, he's created 37 chances this season, which is just one less than Dimitri Payet. The difference is that Ozil has quality, who can finish.
Mm.
Payet doesn't. So, you know, Ozil's right up there in the assists compared to Payet. I mean, Payet's performing tremendously, but Ozil's feeding the likes of Walcott, Sanchez and Giroud, and Payet's feeding Sacco and maybe Andy Carroll off the bench. It's chalk and cheese.
That's a big one.
He's also delivered 40 crosses in that time, and he gets a lot of final third touches. So he just ranks so highly. Mm. You've really got to consider Ozil, and he was really pulling the strings for Germany. He was sublime for Germany.
Yeah, he's a good one. So we've got De Bruyne at 30,000. Mahrez, 13,000 people have brought him in. Would you trade him in now?
Yes, I would. I think he's back in the team. Just get a feeling that he was being rested, and then he had international duty. I think the first time he got rested, it was tactical because they wanted to kind of shore up the wings, and I'm not sure how much work he does in defence. All these high-profile players are getting rested because they don't do enough in defence, and I think he suffered from that with Ranieri. Even though he was the FPL leader, that doesn't seem to count with these coaches. It should, but it doesn't. So I think he got rested for that, and then I think the team did well. And again, he sat out, went on his national duty, got back very late, so sat on the bench. He came off the bench and really won that game for them on the weekend.
He did.
Apparently, he just absolutely dominated in the second half. Provided an assist to Vardy, and I think he'll be picked. So I think he's actually a shoo-in this year, this week. In fact, I'll go as far as saying he's someone you should consider captaining.
Yep. Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, at this stage I intend on captaining Vardy, but yeah, Mahrez, I've got a feeling about him as well. I watched the highlights from Match of the Day on the weekend, and yeah, his passing in the final third was majestic. His passing range is fantastic. He has such a deft touch. And him and who else came on? I think it was Jeffrey Schlupp came on as well. And Nathan Dyer, he came on.
Yeah.
And yeah, they really just tore him a new one. They looked just fantastic. Probably a bit rude. Oh, so cool. Christian Eriksen, yep, he's a good pick too. 10,000 people. Mata, 10,000 people. That's interesting. Willian, 10,000 people as well.
Yeah, I mean, Willian's a good pick, I reckon. Mata's not. I think Mata, I'm not enjoying having him. No. But Willian, I think he's a good pick. I think he's doing... He looks like the form player at Chelsea right now. He's Chelsea's best player right now.
Yeah, so that's saying something. 6.8.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think he's nailed on. He's a Mourinho player, like he, because he defends. I mean for Mourinho, it's like for an attacking midfield, it doesn't matter whether they can attack, as long as they can defend, he's in the team.
Absolutely. So, and he's scoring goals. So
as well, yeah.
He's nailed on at the moment.
Yeah, that's what he's nailed on. So that's the main thing there. And we've got Pedro's playing like a vagina, and who else is there?
Well, I think if Hazard comes back, Pedro just drops back to the bench as well.
I think so, yeah. And Oscar is just, he's doing nothing.
I can see Oscar and Pedro being sold at the end of the season.
Pedro, they're such quality players. It's just like Mourinho, I don't know what he does. I'd like to see what goes on behind closed doors and, you know, in their dressing room, like the team talks. It must be pretty dispiriting. I mean, they just don't want to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, they just make it a bit complicated, don't they? I mean, just 11 blokes with the ball against another 11 blokes with the ball, you know. Mm. Let's get it done. But, yes, these big clubs, complicated. I mean, there's lots to say for guys like Southampton and the way they go about things and the type of players that they buy. You know, Tottenham's done quite well as well over the years, where they really have that sense of team. It is interesting, and I'm obviously hoping that the Klopp can do that. The normal one can do that at Liverpool. Mm. So, yeah, it's something that Liverpool's been missing as well. So, yeah, but these big teams, there's reputations, there's systems, there's coaches under pressure, there's expectations from the fans. It's complicated at it the is. Top.
Cool. Moving on to the bandwagons for forwards. So Vardy, obviously at the top, 157,000. Pella, 37,000. There's a big difference there. Costa, 32,000. Yep, that's all right. Bonny, yep. Igalo, that's interesting. Watford are pretty poor in attack, so I'm not sure about that one. But if you had Igalo, you wouldn't get rid of him, but I wouldn't be trading him in. Lukaku's good. Berahino, pretty interesting. Martial coming in, 10,000. I wouldn't even be looking at him. Harry Kane, he's interesting.
Yes.
And Ayoze Perez, and yeah, he's not a bad pick for if you're going for a 3-5-2 as well.
Yeah, I think he's a good pick. I think his stats are good. I think he's a hell of a player. He's had 32 shots this year. He gets a lot of touches. I actually think he's a really good player. His goals to shots percentage, you know, he scored one goal out of 32 shots. I mean, that's 3%, 3.13%.
It's going to go up.
It's got to adjust.
Yep.
I mean, in the same way Vardy's is unsustainable, so is Harry Kane. Yep. I mean, Harry Kane is actually playing really well. I've watched him a bit, and I think he's a very good player. He, you know, Tottenham versus Liverpool on the weekend, he drifted towards Skrtel and decided he was going to play on Skrtel as the weaker defender. You know, he's a good player, Harry Kane, and as a result, got a number of one-on-ones with the keeper. And the result is this year is that those one-on-ones just aren't converting, but they will.
They will. Yeah, for sure. Cool. All right, so let's move on to captains. I mean, before this podcast, I thought there were only two choices for me, Sanchez or Vardy. But with talking to Bakes, I think Mahrez is also a good pick. Some of the other players that I've looked at, potentially a Newcastle, like these are extreme differential captains. Looking at a Newcastle defender against Sunderland, looking at either Harry Kane or Eriksen from Spurs for this weekend, because they're playing Bournemouth away as well. Yeah. So they're my choices. But in rank, I think probably Vardy, Sanchez, maybe Mahrez, then maybe Mitrovic, Harry Kane, Eriksen, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I still like Walcott, but he just hasn't sort of delivered for me. I captained him last week playing against Everton. Just really like Walcott leading the line. But he seems to kind of run them ragged, and then Giroud comes on and finishes
them
off.
Just going to say,
he scores
within about
3 seconds of taking the pitch,
yeah.
Which is really annoying. I think Sanchez, Mahrez, and Vardy for me would be the three. And I like the call of Eriksen. I think he's on fire at the moment.
Well,
he's up for it.
He's starting to actually shoot from open play. Generally, when he starts doing that, he sort of starts to rack in the points. But I've mixed relationship with Eriksen. He's done really well for me at times, and then he's just killed me at other times.
Yeah, goes into a hole for about 8 weeks, and then comes back and
very frustrating.
Scores 100 points in 2 weeks. So
hard one. So yeah, they're our potential captains. Let's move on to the Rate My Team. Segment of the program. I like this one. So, is this fella? He's another fella from your work, Bates.
Yes, his name's Simon.
Yep.
He's very, very, very attractive man, and loves Arsenal. As you can tell, because he's somehow defied all rules, and he's got 8 Arsenal players in his team. No, just joking. He's got 2 Arsenal players. Arsenal fanatic.
He's got 3.
So I was very happy when I was... he's got 3, does he? He does too. I was very happy when, you know, I accompanied him last year to Star City to watch Liverpool versus Arsenal at about 12 p.m. to see Liverpool tower them up 5-1. It was one of the highlights of my life. So anyway, this is Simon's team.
Where's he from? Is he from England?
No, he's not. No, he's an Aussie.
Yeah.
And his keepers are... First, we'll start with his keepers. He's got 0.8 in the bank. I've got to tell you, though, he has scored 99 and 96 in the last 2 game weeks.
Holy moly.
So he obviously had Aguero as captain.
Sterling.
Then he's doubled that up with Costa, and he's somehow... is in the 10% of the whole FPL game who have retained Raheem Sterling. So he's had a good couple of weeks, and he's very, very proud of himself. And he's leading our work comp. So shout out to Simon.
Well done.
And the big kahunas. So he's done well. He's made some big choices. But his keepers are McCarthy and Cech. Listen, you can't go wrong. Obviously, if you had a spare trade, McCarthy's not playing. That's all I can say about that. Cech's elite and a good Arsenal investment. Got the most clean sheets and is up there with Myhill as the best keeper, and will probably end up, I reckon, the best keeper in the comp.
Probably, I'd say so, yep.
McCarthy's not playing, so Hennessy at 3.9 or the Newcastle keeper, Elliot, is at 4.0, and he's in for the season now because Krul's out.
I think so. Carl Darlow was number 2. He's injured at the moment, so I'm not sure. He's due back in a couple of weeks.
So, yeah, Cech will be there for...
Yeah.
If Cech gets injured, you make a trade. So, okay.
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
His backs, Mangala from City, Alderweireld, Dyer, Stephen Taylor and Smith.
I've never heard of Smith.
Smith's obviously never going to get a minute of action.
Just,
Stephen Taylor's... been injured for 3 years on FPL.
Yeah.
This is his weakness, really. He's got 3 defenders. He's short a defender.
Yeah, Mangala's not nailed on now.
Mangala's not nailed on, is he?
No.
So, you know, he's got... And then his other two are Tottenham. So, you know,
I quite like the double Tottenham defence. I think it's a bit risky, but it's not bad.
It's not bad. It's not something I'd do, although, funny enough, it's something I've considered a lot. But I would personally, I'd be looking at swapping Mangala and Dyer, or Mangala and Alderweireld. I'd hang on to one of the Tottenham boys, but I would be swapping the other one for an Everton defender, like Jagielka or Coleman, and Mangala for a Southampton defender. I'd feel far more comfortable with those three, and then You know, you could also chuck in Bellerin from Arsenal. And the cheapie, you know, your fourth defender, I really think you need a fourth defender. I'd be looking at someone like Marino from Liverpool, 4.7.
Yeah.
Or a Watford defender that we've spoken about, Nyom or Cathcart, or even Galloway at Everton, who might be there for another month. So I think that he's really left himself short at the back. And, you know, Tottenham concede one goal, and that's all his bonus points gone from the back.
Mm. Yeah, it's risky. I wouldn't even... I'd almost leave the double Tottenham for this week because they're playing Bournemouth.
Leave it for this week.
Yeah, I think. But yeah, Mangala has to go. And yeah. So that's the big weakness of this team. I actually don't mind the overall structure of this team. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, well, it's midfield. So moving on to midfield. You know, there's no mistakes here. There's Payet, who's dominating, the form player, really, of FPL. Mm. Sterling, who... You know, he's shown faith with and he's cleaned up with 19 points last week. He's got Sanchez, almost a must-have, and Walcott, who I personally like. I think that Walcott, you've got to keep your eye on. Giroud just keeps scoring. So Walcott is a rotation risk, and his fifth midfielder is Lucas, who, you know, I think Lucas is going to be a great player under Klopp. I haven't been a big fan, but I think he'll really fit in with that system. But I don't think he's going to pick up that many points. He just doesn't get into the final third at all, Lucas. So if Walcott doesn't play, he's pretty much... And bear in mind, he doesn't have a fourth defender. He's, you know, he's going to have those weeks where it all goes pear-shaped. High risk, high reward kind of strategy so far.
Mm.
Any thoughts on the midfield or? Can I just say another thing? Walcott and Sterling, I don't think you can have both. I think you can have one or the other, but they're both kind of not consistent.
Mm. No, they're not. I prefer to see
Kevin De Bruyne in there or. It just doesn't feel right to have two. Again, it's that high risk. He's got a high risk, high reward kind of strategy going.
Yeah, for me, I think the midfield's all right. The big weakness is the defense. He needs to sort that out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Lucas is a pretty. I haven't seen Lucas in any teams. I don't think. I mean, you always see for a basement midfielder. I suppose Lucas was never nailed on. There was other Wanyama, Andrew Sermon, or Ashley Westwood. So, yeah, when I saw Lucas, I thought it was pretty interesting. But Sterling and Walcott, neither consistent. Well, Sterling's a winger, so they're never consistent. And Walcott, as you said, Giroud seems to be coming on stealing his points. I'd probably leave the midfield for a bit. I think it's okay for the meantime, but as you said, it has the potential to go pear-shaped.
Yeah. But, and the front three's Martial, Costa and Vardy, and I know that he's thinking his trade is going to be, you know, Martial to Boney, I think, this week.
They're playing in the same game.
Yeah.
Mm. I wouldn't.
I think he's thinking, he's done his trade this week.
What trade has he done?
I sort of said to him, it's not worth the 4 points because it's a tough game and Martial's just as much chance of scoring as Boney and may do it next week. Yeah. Like Martial, if you do that, Boney has to score to make it worthwhile. Mm. So I think he'd probably sit on it and then next week he'll ditch Martial for Boney, I'd say.
He needs another defender. Like he could potentially only have two scoring defenders.
Yeah.
That should be his priority. But I don't mind this team. I think, it's not a bad team. I don't mind this one.
He's going to work. I can tell you that much.
What?
He's killing us.
How many points have you got? How many points have you got?
He has got... He's got a total of 459.
Oh, yeah. So what's that ranking? You're at 200,000 or something.
Okay, so I'm on 447 and I'm 350-odd.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
That's a good position to be at this stage of the season.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. It's a pretty solid team. Yeah. You know, you do have two consistent scorers in Payet and Sanchez, and then you've got a lot of upside there in Sterling and Walcott.
Yeah,
you can really go big.
It's upside, but it isn't. It's not points trickling in.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoyed that, Steve. Yep, that was good. All right. So we're gonna move on to the final segment. The clean sheet. So I've picked out four. I've gone West Brom against Norwich. It's funny. All the clean sheets I've gone for are the players that I've got. So that sort of there was no real bias. That's what I did, and hopefully it turns out with some fruit. So I picked a Stoke clean sheet. They've kept two clean sheets in a row now against harder teams than Watford. I mean, Stoke only conceded two shots on target against Swansea. See, and they seem to be shoring up, I think. I picked Arsenal against Everton, and I picked Spurs against Bournemouth. So
yeah.
So they're my clean sheets.
Okay, well, I like Spurs and Stoke, but I'm going to go something else because we're... you know, competing. I'm going to go Aston Villa and Swansea.
0-0.
0-0.
Yeah, that's not bad. Swansea have nothing at the moment.
Zero. And believe me, I've got Gomez. They've got nothing.
They don't. It's pretty grim for them at the moment. That's not bad. Cool. All right, I'll have to have a look. I didn't look at our scores from last week. I'll have a look at that. Cool. All right, guys. So that wraps up our segment for today, for this evening. Hope you enjoyed that, listeners. My name is William, and we have Bakes.
Thanks, mate.
Cool. We'll see you guys next week. Good night.
Okay.